This podcast is brought to you by Nationwide. Clients are living longer in retirement, which means their savings may need to last longer, too. That's why tax-efficient retirement planning is often important. A health savings account can be your client's first step. HSAs offer three tax advantages: pre-tax savings, tax-free growth, and tax-free withdrawals. This may help clients avoid tapping into retirement savings to cover healthcare costs down the road. Find out more at nationwidefinancial.com/HSA.
Welcome to the Retirement Repair Shop, where we discuss an array of challenges that can derail the best laid retirement plans. I'm your host, Mary Beth Franklin. Today, we're discussing one of the most devastating threats to a long and happy retirement: the loss of a spouse. More than 1 million women are widowed every year in America. The total number of widows will soon reach 13 million, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. And while no woman wants to join this heartbreaking club, 70% of all married women will experience widowhood, and 80% of women will die single. In contrast, 80% of men will die married. The average age of the onset of widowhood, believe it or not, is 59. And here's a wake-up call for financial advisors to hope to work with that growing demographic. 70% of widows who worked with a financial advisor before their spouse's death will fire that advisor because that advisor didn't understand their grief and their widowhood journey. Mary Beth Franklin, retire pro. Today, I am thrilled to welcome Kathleen Real. She's the author of Moving Forward on Your Own, a financial guidebook for widows. And we're going to discuss the emotional and financial challenges that so many women will face at some point in their lives. Kathleen is also a certified financial planning professional. So, Kathleen, thank you for agreeing to join me today on the Retirement Repair Shop. Your mission to help widows and their financial advisors is a very personal one. Please tell our listeners a little bit about your story.
Well, first of all, Mary Beth, thank you very much for inviting me to do this podcast with you. I'm tickled pink. Yes, my husband died in 2007, exactly 2 days before Valentine's Day and 2 months after he'd been diagnosed with incurable, inoperable cancer.
Wow.
And then 5 weeks after that, Mom died.
Oh.
And 2 years before that, my papa had passed, and my cat also died.
So you had loss, 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 and loss, and you were a financial professional.
Yes.
Did you have anything in your professional toolbox that equipped you to deal with this?
I really thought I was going crazy initially because I couldn't remember things. I was literally living 1 hour at a time. And I've subsequently learned, like a lot of other widows refer to this as their widow's brain period. It's like mush. It's like, you know, I'm this reasonably smart woman. I've got a PhD, I've got a CFP, and I was freaking about my own money situation as well as other things.
When you speak of money, what's the first thing that's gripping a newly widowed woman, aside from I've just lost my spouse, my soulmate, my partner?
Am I going to be okay?
Am I going to be okay
financially? And every single widow who would come to me, whether it was spoken or not, her main concern is financial security and financial safety. But so many of the potential clients who would come through my door, many of them who were leaving other advisors, talked about that was the first thing. Am I going to be okay financially? And even like these were really smart, some really, really smart women. The one client who was a retired math teacher and she couldn't balance her checkbook. And another
was that widow's brain at work. It
yes,
went to mush.
Yeah. The executive director of a nonprofit. And all of a sudden she couldn't read her brokerage statement and just couldn't think. And the higher cognitive level thinking can just go right out the door. And it's fast. Actually, the impact of grief on a widow, there's the brain, the widow's brain, but there's also other physiological changes. You've heard of the broken heart syndrome?
Mm-hmm.
That really is it's a medical term for cardiomyopathy. It exists, and it's, you know, we don't need to have a biology lesson here, but it has to do with an expansion of one of the valves in the heart. But the likelihood of death of heart attack For women shortly after is like 21 times the normal rate. The adrenal glands, they control cortisol. That's the stress hormone, and that's pumping on high. And that's why a lot of widows have problems sleeping at night and digestive difficulties. The immune system just can go totally out of whack. And so you'll have like colds and flus much more often. That was not uncommon for new clients to get ill. It can even problems with, heart attack, which I mentioned before, cancer. I had two widowed clients who cared for their husbands during their cancer decline. And once that was done, like within 6 months, they had developed cancer.
Their immune system is shot.
Yes.
And in the meantime, they're dealing with these big financial
yes.
questions. Can I keep the house? What do I do with the life insurance? What do I claim Social Security? Let's go through some of these
steps.
So
those kinds of things. And I would get, when a client would come in, I would say, all right, what are your main concerns right now? And I would just listen to her. And it would be things like you've mentioned there, or actually, with a case that I'm going to do this afternoon, some of the things were, her husband was a pastor, and what happens with the pension system that we've got there? Do I get life insurance? He'd retired already. Do I get life insurance, or do I not get life insurance off of that? I don't know if I can stay in this house or not. He did all the repair work and the maintenance, and I never really understood how the barbecue unit even worked, and I don't know if I can stay here or not. What do I do with the, how do I get the insurance money? What do I do with the insurance money? Oh, the estate documents. He's dead now. He was the executor of my, you know, and she's thinking about all these things. So then I would repeat them back to her and say, all right, you're concerned.
What do you need to do right now, right?
About all of these things. And then we do, I talk about financial triage with a new widow, and that's figuring out what needs to be done immediately, what is high priority. So that's like right now. Then there are other activities that could be done soon. They're important, but they don't have to be done instantly. And then ones later. For example, the now, right now, on her list, the first time that we met, there were things like spend time with the family, request a leave of absence from work. She had a very high-level job. She thought, I just have to quit. I can't do this work anymore, but her job was important for more than just money, so it was that. And it was to locate, there was one insurance policy that she thought that they had, but I didn't have in my records of her, to locate that. All right, and then she's asking, well what about the insurance money? Well, that was going to be as soon, like to apply for those death benefits, but we weren't going to invest them right away. We were going to just leave it. In fact, some of the insurance, we just left it with the insurance company because they had a little side account that was paying 5% interest and until she really was going to decide what to do with it. And that was going to be coming later when we reconfigured the portfolio to fit her situation as a widow, which was not the same as it was.
Right. And Kathleen, our listeners will be both financial advisors and everyday consumers. So for those consumers, particularly, if you find yourself in this situation, and we go back to the widow triage, what are some of the, what must you do immediately?
One is do not rush. Do
Good
not
advice.
Rush. There are, as we said, some things that do need some attention now, like being sure the bills are paid. But other things that you don't have to do right away. And because of this mush brain, this widow's brain, you're not thinking clearly on some things. So do not rush. And also, because of the vulnerabilities, if she doesn't understand a particular product, and I would have widows stand in front of a mirror and practice saying this, because I said, you're going to get recommendations from your neighbor, from your brother, from some other salesperson about what to do with this insurance money. So she would stand in front of the mirror and say, thank you very much for that suggestion. I'll take it into consideration, but it's way too early in the process because my advisor and I are just planning to think about what my future is going to look like. But thank you for the suggestion.
Great advice. I bet in today's digital accounting and interconnected financial records, one of the biggest challenges is if your husband dies and he knows the passwords and you don't. How do you deal with that situation?
Ha ha ha. Well, hopefully we have done, which I would have sessions with when it was still a couple. It's like, we would talk about love lasts forever, but life doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so what are the things that you need to do? But passwords and pins were high on the list because we'd find that oftentimes it was one individual over the other. In fact, in the research that we did about how couples handled money before one of them passed, oftentimes it was one or the other that did most of the stuff. And the other one kind of knew about it. So fortunately, all of my clients, when that happened, we knew where the passwords and the pins were. But sometimes it's a hunting game and pack to find them. One gal did tell me she found it, but she said, I couldn't read his handwriting.
Oh, geez.
So that's definitely something. If you still are a couple, find out what those passwords and pins are.
That is a great advice, and I love your phrase, love may be forever, but life isn't, right?
Yes.
I want to turn again to your own personal situation. You know, one of my favorite topics is talking about Social Security benefits. And what so many people don't realize is if they have Social Security retirement benefits on their own work record, and they are also married or an eligible divorced spouse who is married at least 10 years, and that spouse or ex-spouse dies, they may be entitled to a survivor benefit. And these two types of benefits, a survivor benefit and a retirement benefit, are considered two different pots of money. And you might be able to claim one type of benefit first and the other later. So tell me about your situation. You were obviously well-schooled in the details of Social Security when it applied to your own situation, but how did you make a choice?
Oh, I learned a lot more going through it myself. It was like, there's an expert, Natalie Choate, who does IRA stuff. She said when she turned 70 and a half, she learned things that she didn't know about herself before. So I was 60. In fact, I just turned 60. My 60th birthday, I sat beside my husband getting a chemo treatment.
Wow.
So I was just 60. And so I knew that I was eligible for a survivor benefit at age 60, but I was still actively working. I had my financial planning business, and I was making way too much money. I would have wound up just giving it all back. So I didn't do anything with that.
So you made this very smart decision to choose your survivor benefit first and to let your own retirement benefit keep growing.
Yes, yes. And so when the reason that really worked out well, my husband had been a pastor for most of his life, and his income was lower, but mine as a financial advisor was higher, and then it grew and grew more. So when I got my check, I was like, whoa, it's like,
that's about real money.
About double of what it was before. My gosh, that's even a better deal. And because I still continued to work, I'm still putting money into the system, it's growing even more than the 8%.
And that's several very good points you brought out. First of all, where your initial confusion, if you were collecting benefits as a spouse while your husband was still alive, your maximum benefit would be worth half of his amount.
Yes.
But when your spouse dies, the survivor benefit is worth 100% of what your husband was entitled to at time of death. In the meantime, not only does your own retirement benefit continue to grow by 8% a year because you're accruing these delayed retirement credits, but at the same time, you're adding to your work record. So many people are surprised that regardless of your age, the longer you continue to work, the more you're adding to your work record. Social Security benefits are based on your top 35 years of earnings, no matter when you earn them. So if you're working 40 or 45 years, those lower earning years are dropping out, and you're creating a bigger benefit for yourself in the future.
Yeah, it was amazing because I had projected what it was going to be. And what it actually got, when I got that check, it was like a whole lot bigger. And then I had to go back, oh my gosh, that's yes, because I was putting a whole lot more into the system.
Well, Kathleen, you've also done some fascinating original research about not just widows, but what happens when those widows take a second trip down the aisle. That you've used it, repartnered is the term you use?
Yes.
And you have a personal story there as well. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yes, I do, Mary Beth.
You really get into your research, I see.
Yes. And maybe that colored why I wanted to do the research. I wanted to find out how other widows were dealing with this. When Tom died, I really didn't see myself ever involved with a romantic interest again. Although my dear husband, who was very spiritual, before he passed, he actually said to me, you know those promises we made to each other years ago? And I said, yes. He said, I want you to forget them. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you know what I'm talking about. And he said, you're a woman who needs to love. You need to love to be fulfilled, and you need to have a partner to do things with, and I want you to find somebody after I'm gone. Well, I never really expected that I would. But it was about 4 years after Tom was gone, and a retired nuclear engineer came into my life, and we started seeing each other, and we had an 8-year relationship, and he asked me to marry him. But I said, no, I was not going to get married again for a lot of reasons. And part of the reason was, well, I'm out speaking and teaching and writing about widows. And if I get married, then I'm not the widow lady anymore. I've lost my identity.
I've lost my credibility.
But I've subsequently found out, no, that's not the case. It's like, no, you're even more believable because of what you did. You've gone full circle. So last summer, at the end of August, it was a small wedding in the backyard with our family and grandkids, and my son actually did, who's an ordained minister, did the service, and I said, I do, and so I am married. I will always be Tom's widow, but I'm now Charlie's wife. I get to love two men with the blessing
of
both.
And you've used two phrases that you can find on your website at KathleenReal.com. One is finding love after loss. I think that is so poignant. That's what's happening to you and so many other women.
And love never dies. I'll always love Tom, but in a different way.
And you also coined another phrase talking about widows who later remarry. They're no longer widows. In some definitions, they're ex-widows or widex. Tell me a little bit about that turn of the phrase. I think it is so appropriate.
I use widex to talk about women who were married before. And before I was married to Tom, my late husband, there was another marriage which ended in divorce. That man has subsequently died. And so I've actually just referred it to, I've said it a couple of times, and I think I'm going to write something about it now because it seems to resonate. I've called myself a widex because I was an ex-wife, but the widow of that. So I've experienced widex and widowhood from being Tom, and now I am remarried. So you figure that out.
There's got to be a third word for that. And I'm so glad you mentioned this widex, the idea of being a surviving ex-spouse, because there's another Social Security rule for that, that if someone was married at least 10 years, divorced. Now, normally, currently single is the key, but there is this exception
yes.
that if you wait until age 60 or later for that second trip down the aisle and your ex-spouse dies, you can collect survivor benefits as a widex. That's another important piece of information I want our listeners to grasp onto, that if you're divorced and you remarry, you lose the right to collect on a living ex, but you can collect on a dead ex and become a widex.
I am so glad you have become a specialist in this area. Remember the days we used to think, oh, Social Security, that's easy,
Just claim it. It's easy.
No.
Nothing complicated about it. Nothing about the 2,700 rules that govern those benefits. So two things I want to talk to you about briefly. There are widows who are suddenly widowed, and they're dealing with the shock of widowhood. And then there are others who are dealing with a mate with maybe a terminal disease where there's time to prepare. Do you offer triage advice for the suddenly widowed versus those who have time to prepare?
I've seen the widows that I've worked with and others that I've mentored, and hundreds, they go through three main stages. There's that first, that numb, heavy grief stage. Then there's a growth phase. And then there's, I like to use alliteration, grief, growth, and grace. Some people like to call that transformation. And it's not necessarily all forward one way. Some days there's two steps forward and one step backward and you go forward. But it does take time to go through that phase. Oftentimes people say, well, how long does it take to go from grief to growth? It depends on the circumstances. And many of them, like circumstances of death, is a big one. So you mentioned the sudden death like the case study that I'm talking this afternoon about at the conference. He's here one day, and hours later, he's gone. Unplanned for, unexpected. Oftentimes, that takes longer to transition than the woman who has been a caregiver for her husband who's been in health decline for years and years and years. She's really been doing some of her grief ahead of time processing. Mm-hmm. And she is not expecting him to ever get better, and he will die at some point. But she, like, I had two widows. They became widows within 2 months of part time. And the one widow, unexpected, husband died playing tennis, massive heart attack. It took her almost a year to go from that heavy grief into the growth phase where she was out of the financial triage stuff, where she could do the more traditional, you know, updating her estate plan, looking at special tax situations, reconfiguring investments, those kinds of things, where she wouldn't have understood that before. Mm-hmm. The other woman, who was 20 years older, she was in her 80s. This woman, they were joined at the hip. They just did everything together. But they always said Bob was living on borrowed time. And he died quietly in his sleep one night. Well, she had anticipated that grief. And so she actually passed from that first to the second phase in about 7 months, even though she was older. And you might say, well, it would take her more time, but no, it was less time. So it depends on a lot of circumstances. And I never say to a widow, oh, I know exactly where you are on your journey, because I don't. Every widow's journey is different.
Oh, on that note, I think that's the perfect way to end this fascinating conversation. Kathleen, thank you so much for sharing your insights and your guidance and your loving emotional support of probably the most difficult thing many women will ever face. So thank you for joining me on the Retirement Repair Shop. As Kathleen just said, every widow's journey is different. But there are some similarities that can help every financial advisor work with recently widowed clients. These new widows are living 1 hour at a time, and they're dealing with what Kathleen called the widow's brain, pure mush. And they are all asking the same question, will I be okay? As a financial advisor, you can help them with financial triage by making a list of what needs to be done now, soon, and later. And if you need more information about how to deal with widowhood, or how to help those who are going through it, go to Kathleen Real's website. That's Kathleen with a K, Real, R-E-H-L, KathleenReal.com, and click on the Tools tab. And if you have a story you'd like to share, or a question you'd like to ask, please contact us here at the Retirement Repair Shop. Go to investmentnews.com/repair shop.
This podcast is brought to you by Nationwide. Women have a higher life expectancy than men. With longer life comes the need to plan for more years of retirement and the potential for greater long-term care costs. Nationwide can help. We have a variety of resources that can help your female clients plan for the costs of long-term care and receive that care how they want. See how you can help your female clients understand and plan for their unique retirement challenges at nationwidefinancial.com/LTC.